I'm intrigued by a story that might have swimming try to rectify some of the sins of the past in reallocating Olympic medals. So Olympic swimmer Nicole Livingston has lived her career in this story. Nicole, great to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Jared.
Do you feel a level of optimism that FINA is going to follow through and look to right some of the wrongs of the past and have the IOC reallocate medals for those who were cheated by the East German drug regime?
I still think it's a bit of a long shot, to be honest. But the thing that does give me heart is the fact that FINA, under a new CEO and a new president, seem to actually be prioritising athletes, whether they be past or present, which is a really good thing. But to have the IOC also then have to agree to change the results of retrospectively of Olympic Games, I think is probably still a long shot. But yeah, I do have an optimistic approach around it.
Would it be worthwhile? Is it important to those who were involved at the time?
I think it is important, and I did hear Michelle Ford-Erickson make some comments around the fact that she did win a gold medal in 1980, and yes, there were two other races that she, if the results are put right, then she would have won two more gold medals. But she also had a thought process on it, that she did have the opportunity to win an Olympic medal, and I think I kind of feel the same way. I did have an opportunity to win Olympic medals. It's probably more for those that, 30 years later are still haunted by the fact that they weren't able to achieve what they think that they deserved to achieve because of the hard work and the clean approach to those results. So athletes like Lisa Curry, athletes like Janelle Elford, now Pallister, that, didn't get the opportunity through very, very good careers to win an Olympic medal.
The races you were involved in Seoul, so which ones were they?
So I finished fifth in the 200 metres backstroke as a 17-year-old at the 88 Olympic Games, and there were two East German girls ahead of me. Christina Egzegi won from Hungary, and then two East Germans in second and third. So, if those results were rewritten, then that would put me into third place. And then Australia finished fourth in the 4x100 medley relay, and the East German team won that. And I have to say, won it by about 10 seconds. It was just phenomenal. Yeah. I watched it for the first time over the weekend, to be honest. And it really was night and day in terms of them and the rest of the field. So they're the two races in particular that I'm involved in.
So you're a teenager at the time, and it is toward the end of the East German drug regime. How aware of the suspicions do you recall being?
Oh, completely aware, and if anything, for me as a 17-year-old, it was almost distracting to see just not only how fast they were swimming, but just how different they were to the rest of us. But, I think you have to also take a bit of a thoughtful approach on this, because it was a communist regime, and, these women and girls and athletes, because it was men as well, this was forced upon them as well. They didn't get a choice in whether or not they were going to race clean or race as they were under a drug-taking regime. So, they've had horrific health problems since that time. There's been, a class action that took place, I think, in the early 2000s. Where they were compensated, but it was something like $7,000 each. So certainly not, enough compensation for what happened to them. They didn't have any choice in this, Jared. So, in my mind as well, I do feel a level of empathy for them as well. I guess we'll just wait and see what happens. I'm not sure that it's going to fix itself, but I don't know how they're going to fix it as well, because you think about, is it just anybody that was racing for East Germany is automatically wiped out? Is it only those that, when the records were found in 1989, when the wall came down and they were able to see, testosterone to epitestosterone ratios for names, gosh, you even think about that. There is so much to work through.
Yes, there are layers which probably can never be fully identified, let alone rectified. Hey, so just when you watch that relay on the weekend, what do you see? If that's drug-fueled sport and a team winning by so far, and you've lived your life in elite sport, when you looked at it, what most occurred to you?
It's the first time I've watched it, actually, since swimming in 1988. So seeing 17-year-old me and you know, I touched the wall third in that lead-off leg in the 100 metres backstroke. So going toe-to-toe with the rest of the world. But then Kristen Otto, who won 5 gold medals at those Olympic Games, you know, was a couple of seconds ahead of the rest of the field. So you just look at them and go, wow, you know, it was so obvious. It was so obvious. How do you beat the rest of the field when everyone's working just as hard by that much without it being suspicious?
Do you feel any bitterness that you dedicated your sporting career to that endeavour, and as a 17-year-old you were being dudded at the time?
No, not I don't. I know others do. I look at it where I was able to choose what sport I wanted to do. I mean, these girls were put into sports based on their body, the length of their arms or limbs, you know, their cardiovascular ability. You know, I chose swimming because I fell in love with it as a 9-year-old watching the 1980 Moscow Olympic Games. So, you know, to be able to then go on and represent my country and then to live the rest of my life relatively healthy with kids that are healthy. I mean, again, the girls have had, or the women have had, you know, difficulties either conceiving or, you know, have children that either have blindness or cleft palate. I think there are a couple of the disabilities that have presented because of what happened to them as young women. So I feel blessed to be an Australian and have freedom of choice and to do the sport that I loved.
There's a historical shame in this for what athletes were subjected to.
Yeah, I think there is. You know, and again, I acknowledge that Australian athletes that were affected by this and missed out on standing on the podium and having their moment in the limelight will feel very passionate about it and very, you know, robbed of that opportunity and moment. But for me, you know, I think about the longer term picture now. And the fact that, you know, I'm now 50 and I've got good health and, you know, I'm very proud of knowing that my results were my results and they weren't drug-fueled results. And I was able to swim to the best of my ability. So, again, let's wait to see. I mean, the most pleasing thing is to hear that FINA, after 30 years of having one executive director, you know, move on and a new CEO come in, it just feels like there is a refreshing period of time coming for swimming internationally.
Yep. So there is a legacy piece to it. Michelle Ford would be a 3-time gold medalist from Moscow. Yeah. And that does, I mean, that enhances, her place is safe, but yet it enhances her. So yeah. There is the legacy piece. The actual medals, I'm just curious, 33 years on, do the actual medals matter much to you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got 3 Olympic medals, so, you know, this makes me a 5-time Olympic medalist, which, you know, has a lovely ring about it. But again, you know, let's wait and see what happens. You know, to actually physically have those medals replaced, I mean, there are, you know, the template to do that is available and the Olympic Committee could do that. And I think that retrospectively awarding those medals to those swimmers for the moment, those swimmers that missed out, you know, would be the right thing to do. I don't think it's the process of taking medals away from the East German girl, though. I should put that on the table.
Let me just, I do want to just stray to one question around AFLW, the reports in the Herald Sun this morning, the daily rapid antigen testing has been used to try to safeguard the competition from the spread of COVID-19. How developed is that at the moment? How closely are you trying to guard the training phase of this season?
Mm. Yeah, well, obviously, as you know, AFLW, our players are part-time in nature, so they're also working. Some of them are working in frontline employment as well. So our priority is always protecting not only our players and our staff, but also the broader community as well. Yes, rapid antigen testing, but also PCR testing as well. You know, we are doing as much as we can to try to protect our players and also be responsible in the position that we hold for the rest of the community as well.
And how will the competition deal with a player who thus far is resisting the vaccination process? So Denny Verhagen she's been noted as a player who doesn't feel yet she's in a position to make that informed choice. What will the competition do with such a player?
Yeah, well, we've done as much as we can in terms of medical advice. We've run information sessions. If a player feels like they need more information, then we're happy to provide that and have those conversations as well. But at the end of the day, we are still living through a global pandemic. And, you know, if anybody, whether or not it's AFL, AFLW, or any other sport, feels like, you know, playing a sport during a global pandemic is not for them, then I, you know, have to respect that as well. So there's still, given it's a player from South Australia, there's still a little more time to work through that approach for Danny as well. I don't know the intimate details of that, but we'll support the players as much as we can to make an informed choice.
Is the expectation that to participate in this coming season, you would need to be vaccinated?
Look, I think with the different board, and again, we don't know what it looks like in January. There could be changes. We now know that there's some changes going on in Victoria with restrictions. So it is a bit of a wait and see approach in terms of what the different borders are going to look like and different state requirements. But it certainly is going to make it much easier to be an athlete if you are vaccinated. So, yeah, again, it's up to the athlete to make an informed decision. And we've done as much as we can to be able to put them in that position to make that informed decision. So, yeah, if any player does need more help or more expertise to talk through, then we're happy to provide that as well.
Nicole, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Jared.
Nicole Livingston, head of AFLW Olympic swimmer.